Welcome back, and let's get into a really useful beginner jungle technique in Ableton Live 12. Today we're building an old-school style drum fill blueprint that has that classic jungle spirit, but still lands with modern punch and a clean low end, and that balances the whole game in drum and bass. A fill is not just a little decoration at the end of a loop. In DNB, a fill is an arrangement tool. It helps you move from one section to the next, signal a drop change, build tension before a bass switch, and keep a repeating groove feeling alive. So the goal here is not to create a giant drum solo. The goal is to make a practical, musical fill that feels authentic, punchy, and easy to reuse. Think of this fill as a handoff. It takes energy from one groove section and passes it cleanly into the next one. Start by opening your project at a DNB tempo. Classic jungle and drum and bass usually sits around 170 to 174 BPM. If you're making a darker roller, you can also work a little slower, maybe around 160 to 170 BPM. Either way, set up an 8-bar loop first, because that's where fills become most useful. They often work best at the end of that phrase, where the energy needs to turn over and reset. So listen to your loop and ask yourself, where does the track naturally want to lift? Maybe it's the last beat before the drop repeats. Maybe it's bar 8. Maybe it's the final half bar before a new section. That location matters more than people think. If the fill has a clear job, it instantly feels more professional. Now let's load in a break. You can use a classic amen-style break, or any punchy drum loop that has a strong snare, kick, and some top-end texture. If you're just starting out, choose a break that already sounds good on its own. Don't make your life harder than it needs to be. Put the break on an audio track, and make sure warp is on if the timing needs it. If the hits need cleaning up, you can use transient markers or slice the break manually. A very beginner-friendly workflow in Ableton Live 12 is to right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track, then Slice by Transient. That gives you a drum rack with individual hits, which is perfect for jungle editing. And this is where the fun starts. You're no longer just looping a break. You're building a fill from tiny pieces. For this first version, keep it simple. Aim for one strong snare, one kick or low tom hit, one or two ghost notes, and maybe the final accent if the transition needs it. In jungle and DNB, clarity beats quantity. A fill does not need to be packed with a dozen hits to work. In fact, too many hits usually kill the impact. A good starter pattern is something like this. Place a main snare on the backbeat, then add a ghost snare slightly before or after it, then another snare-style hit near the end of the bar, and maybe a small kick pickup or hat pickup into the downbeat. That already gives you movement, tension, and forward motion. If you're working in MIDI, use velocity to shape the feel. Keep the main snare strong, maybe around 90 to 120, depending on your sample level, and keep ghost notes lighter, around 35 to 70. That contrast is huge. The main accent should stay stable and the smaller notes should do the moving. That's one of the secret ingredients in jungle edits. The groove feels alive because not everything is equally loud or equally perfect. Also, don't quantize everything to death. If one ghost hits it a little late, that can actually make the fill breathe. The original break swing is part of the magic, so use it as your reference instead of flattening it out. Now let's shape the sound a bit using Ableton's stock tools. If your break is sliced into drum rack, open up the chain and use simpler on any hit that needs a little tone control. A good beginner setup is one-shot mode, with a start trimmed so there's no extra silence before the transient. If a sample feels harsh, open the low-pass filter slightly. If the hit feels too long, shorten the envelope with a tight decay. For extra punch, add drum boss to the fill. Keep it subtle. Drive somewhere around 5 to 15% is often enough, and use crunch lightly if needed. You can also nudge transients up a little for more snap. The point here is not to crush the break. The point is to give it a more finished, club-ready edge while still keeping that raw old-school character. Now, to make it feel more modern, add a support layer. This could be the clean snare underneath, a tight clap, a tiny kick click, or a metallic percussion tick. Keep these very subtle. They should reinforce the main hit, not replace the break. The old-school vibe comes from the break itself. The modern punch comes from the support layers. If you want to stay organized, group all the fill-related drums together. You can send them to a fill bus, then process that as one unit. On the bus, try a gentle EQ cut around 250 to 400 Hz if the fill feels boxy. If it needs air, a small high shelf around 8 to 10 kHz can help. Then a glue compressor with only light gain reduction, maybe 1 to 2 dB, can help the fill sit together nicely. At this point, your fill should already have shape, but now we make it feel like arrangement. This is where automation matters. In the last half bar or bar before the drop, you can automate a few useful things. Try a quick high-pass sweep with auto filter on the fillbus. You can also throw a little extra reverb onto the last snare, or a tiny delay throw onto one ghost hit or rim hit. Even a very small gain dip on the main drums, like 1 to 3 dB with utility, can create a micro vacuum before the next downbeat. And that tiny vacuum is powerful. Indeed, NB. Fills often work because they create a moment of empty space right before the drop comes back. That contrast makes the drop feel bigger. Now let's give it some old-school texture. If your fill sounds too clean, you can rough it up with a little saturator, light redux, subtle erosion, or even vinyl distortion if you want a more obvious lo-fi edge. Keep it restrained. A little goes a long way. You're aiming for character, not destruction. A really classic jungle move is to resample the fill to audio, then chop it again. That second generation often sounds more finished and more personal. You can tighten the tail, reverse the final hit, or flip a cymbal for a small lift into the downbeat. That edit resample refine workflow is very much part of old-school jungle culture. Now check the low end. This is important. Your fill should not fight the bass line. If the bass is active near the transition, keep unnecessary low end out of the fill. High pass any layer that doesn't need body. Keep kick fills short. Avoid stacking heavy low hits right when the sub comes back. Also check your bass in context. If the fill snare is masking the bass mids, carve out a little space with EQ. If the bass is too loud into the transition, use a bit of volume automation. The goal is separation. The fill can be energetic, but the bass still owns the low end authority. That separation is what makes the drop feel powerful. Now add one tiny signature detail. This could be a reverse snare into the downbeat, a very quiet crash, a late hat pickup, a quick tape stop style moment, or a subtle tom stab. Just one little thing. Great deed NB fills often have one detail that makes them memorable, but they're never overcrowded. If you zoom in and nudge the timing of that final hit slightly earlier or later, you may find the whole fill suddenly feels more alive. Often timing does more for a fill than adding another sound. At this stage, you should have a two-bar jungle fill blueprint that feels like a proper transition tool. It should be chopped, snare-led, a little crunchy, tight in the low end, and strong enough to carry the listener into the next section without stealing focus from the groove. Let's quickly recap the key mindset. First, start simple. One strong accent is better than 10 random hits. Second, keep the main snare stable and let the ghost notes do the movement. Third, preserve the groove swing of the original break. Fourth, control the low end so the sub stays clean. And fifth, use automation and tiny textural details to make the fill feel like a real arrangement move. Here's a good mini practice exercise. Make three versions of the same one-bar fill. Version 1 should be the bare minimum. One main snare accent, one ghost note, and no extra effects. Version 2 should add a tiny delay throw, one extra pickup hit, and a small high-pass movement. Version 3 should be the biggest version. Add a short reverse element, layer a second snare or clap, and add subtle saturation or drum bus drive. Then place each one in a simple 8-bar loop and compare them at the same volume. Ask yourself which version feels most natural, which one leaves the most space for bass, and which one sounds most like jungle without becoming messy. If you want a good habit to build, save the best one as a reusable clip or drum rack preset. Label it clearly, something like Jungle Fill 170 BPM Snare Ghosts. That way you're building your own library of tested DNB ideas, which is exactly how producers develop a personal signature over time. So that's the blueprint. A jungle fill should feel like a smart handoff, not a performance. It should answer the groove, create tension, and keep the arrangement moving. And when you get it right, even a simple fill can make a track feel bigger, tighter, and way more intentional. Nice work. Now go build one, bounce it into the arrangement, and listen to how much impact a few well-placed edits can really create.